But what is faith? If we look up a dictionary definition, it says complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance, dependence, optimism. It also says strong belief in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. What about people of the faith throughout the years? J.O. Fraser, a missionary to China, said, "Faith is like a muscle which grows stronger with use, rather than rubber which weakens when it is stretched." Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "Faith is like the Samsonian lock of the Christian. Cut it off, and you may put out his eyes, and he can do nothing." J. Hudson Taylor said, "Not a great faith we need, but a faith in a great God." We came across this by an unknown author. Faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Some of you will remember my predecessor, Bill Smith. Bill used to say, "You need faith, but you can't have mine." It confused me for a while because I thought, everybody needs the Christian faith. But what he was really saying is that faith is personal. It is between you and God. It's a relationship. It's between the two of you. I may see faith differently to you, and you may see faith differently to me. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes." Mark chapter 9. Ephesians 2 verse 8, many of you will know, says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And in Romans 10, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." I came across this story, and it's a long story, but listen to every word more than anything else, because it's such a good story. Ronald Dunn shared his story in this way. "Salvation is like a house built beside a broad and busy motorway. Like everyone else, I was born on that motorway. I was spending my life following it to its destination. At first, the trip had been exciting and almost effortless, the constant flow of the crowd carrying me along. However, the further I went along the road, more difficult things came my way. My original joy dissipated, and I noticed that my fellow travelers rarely laughed anymore. And their occasional smiles seemed forced. The backpack I'd been issued at the beginning of my journey had grown heavier every day, and I was now permanently stooped from its weight. Worst of all, I'd been overtaken lately by an unexplainable fear of reaching the end of the motorway. One day, my attention was drawn suddenly to the side of the motorway, to a magnificently constructed house. Over its narrow front doors, a sign silently announced in bold red letters, 'Whosoever will may enter and find rest.' I do not know how I knew it, but I realized that if I could reach the inside of this beautiful house, I could be saved from the motorway and its destination. Pushing my way through the mass of indifferent travelers, I broke clear of the crowd and ran up the steps to the front door. But it was locked. Perhaps it's only stuck, I thought, and tried again. It refused to open. I was confused. Why would somebody put up a sign inviting people in and then lock the door to keep them out? not knowing what else to do. I refused to return to the motorway. I pounded on the door and shouted for someone inside to open it. I tried to pick the lock, but it was useless. Suddenly, a voice spoke my name, and I spun around. It was the builder of the house. He placed in my hand a key with one word carved on it: faith. Turning back to the door, I inserted the key in the lock, twisted it, and heard a reassuring click. The door swung open, and I stepped across the threshold. Immediately, the backpack fell off my shoulders. My back began to straighten like a wilting flower reaching the sunlight. And from deep within me, my soul breathed a sigh of relief as an extraordinary sense of peace and well-being wrapped itself around me. The builder of the house welcomed me to my new home, explaining that everything in the house was now mine to enjoy. This was the house that grace built, and faith was the key. Surveying my new surroundings, I saw that the house of salvation was a house with many rooms, and I was only in the foyer. Across the door was a door marked Answered Prayer. Next to it was another Daily Victory, and next to it, Every Need Supplied. The row of doors, each promising some spiritual blessing, stretched endlessly throughout the house. The discovery of these rooms puzzled me, for I failed to mention that the foyer in which I stood was jammed packed with people. It seemed that everyone who entered the house stopped in the foyer, never advancing beyond it, as though the foyer were the entire building. Remember that as well. This was little better than the motorway. Couldn't they see that there was more to the house of salvation than the foyer? Surely the builder intended every room to be occupied. Hadn't he said that everything in the house was ours to enjoy? I, for one, had no desire to spend my life standing in the foyer. This was my father's house. I was his child. And all that he possessed was mine. I went to the door marked Answered Prayer, grabbed the knob and twisted. It was locked. I went to the next door and to the next. All were locked. Nevertheless, this time I did not try to pick the lock or knock the door down. I remembered my encounter at the front door and knew I had a key for that. Although I'd only been in the house a short time, I had somehow managed to accumulate a large number of keys. Rummaging through my collection, I selected one tagged, "Doing your best," and tried it. Did not fit. Nor did the one tagged "Religious activity." The key of sincerity proved useless. Next, I tried the key of tithing. I was getting desperate. But it was powerless as the others. I was beginning to understand why the foyer was so crowded. And then I heard a familiar voice. It was the builder of the house. "Child," he said, "do you remember the key I gave you to enter my house?" "Yes, I remember." "What was it?" "Why, it was a key of faith," I answered. "Now listen," the builder said. "The key of faith is the master key that unlocks every door in the house. Faith is the master key of the Christian life. From start to finish, salvation is by grace through faith. Everything we get in the Christian life, we get by grace through faith. Grace makes it available, and faith accepts it. Grace is God's hand giving. Faith is man's hand receiving. Faith possesses what grace provides. Grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. It is our positive response to God's gracious offer. Everything God demands of man can be summed up in one word: faith. You know, I personally feel that there are some people who feel that they must have every box ticked before becoming a Christian or before even entering a church. They need all their questions answered before entering these doors and being part of the congregation. How wrong is that? And it's something we need to tell people. I said earlier that faith is like a muscle that gets stronger. And it gets stronger by being used. In Matthew 17, we read that if we only have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. It was a hard lesson for the disciples. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. And God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Upon their return, a man emerges through the crowd and knelt before Jesus. He said, "Lord, have mercy on my son because he is an epileptic. And he suffers terribly. He falls into the fire and often in the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Now a mustard seed is the size of a full stop. Imagine. A full stop. So having the faith of a mustard seed is the starting point of faith. It is the beginning of your faith journey. It is only as the muscle gets used will it grow. Remember, not a great faith we need, but a faith in a great God. It begins with God. And if you believe there is a God, you have your mustard seed. And if you believe Jesus lived and died on the cross and rose again, your mustard seed has grown. And as you journey on this road of faith, your faith brings you knowledge, understanding, and insight. From this minuscule faith, we will see that the desires of the flesh, which include idolatry, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, envy, and many more, are the desires of the flesh and are in complete contrast and opposite to that of the fruit of the Spirit, where we are told, add to this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. You see, as our faith grows, and I'll get off my soapbox soon, but if we don't read our Bibles, attend church regularly, enjoy fellowship in home groups, life groups, we will become like a bottle of fizz without a top. The bubbles are full of life, but soon lose their fizz and become flat. So how is your faith? Is it active? Is it growing? Are you using it for God's kingdom? Do you believe God is faithful? At the men's breakfast several years ago, we watched a DVD on George Muller. In Bristol in 1836, he opened his rented house for orphans, taking in 36 girls. In time, this grew where 5 houses were built to accommodate more. From this, an orphanage at Ashley Down was built. It was time for breakfast and there was no food. A small girl whose father, a friend of Muller, was visiting the home. Muller took her hand and said, "Come and see what our father will do." In the dining room, long tables were set out and empty plates and empty mugs. Not only was there no food in the kitchen, there was no money in the bank account either. Muller prayed, "Dear Father, we thank you for what thou art going to give us to eat. Immediately, there was a knock on the door. When they opened it, it was the local baker who stood there. "Mr. Muller," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you had no bread for breakfast. So I got up at 2 o'clock and baked fresh bread. Here it is." Muller thanked him and gave praise to God. Soon a second knock was heard. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. He said he would like to give the children the milk so he could empty the cart and repair it. Faith, like George Muller, takes years of dependence on God, both in prayer and trust. Look him up online, and you will read he raised the equivalent of £113 million in today's value. He cared for over 10,000 orphans. He established 117 schools, which offered Christian teaching to over 120,000 people. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of trust. When the Bible was put together as we know it, there was one book, in fact there was more than one, that was suggested it be omitted. Martin Luther, the catalyst of the Protestant Reformation, wrote, "We should throw the epistle of James out of school, for it doesn't amount to much. It contains not a syllable about Christ. Not once does it mention Christ except at the beginning. I maintain that some Jew wrote it who probably heard about Christian people, but never encountered any." But he also felt there was too much indifference about works, as though James was stating salvation came through doing good things. But no, James was saying it was because of our salvation that Christians do good works. I have been spending the last 8 years collecting and distributing food along with you others to people less fortunate than ourselves. I have good relationships with the police, both working alongside them and with them. In the last few years, I've developed relationships with the posties on London Road. But I must stress, it is not about me. I do it because I love Jesus Christ and I wish to be his servant in our community where I live. And it should be our desire to follow in Christ's footsteps, keeping to his teachings and being his hands, his feet, where we live by faith. And because of our faith, we do these things. So what will your faith do for someone this week? Will your faith enable you to be a listener, a gardener, a cleaner? Will you develop your faith from that mustard seed into bearing fruit for Jesus? So go, stretch those muscles, and bless someone. Amen. Take a moment to reflect upon God's word and see if he speaks to you in your hearts this morning.